welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune, and before Greg and I discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach, Ted LePage.
Coach, let's take a quick look back at last week's 62-0 win against Boonville. Third straight week where the first-string offense is, or first-string defense does not allow any points. What would you like that you saw overall from that game from your team?
Well, I would say the start. When we start off and Nolan Laughlin kicks it into the end zone right off the bat of the game, I think that just adds momentum to our team. Got a quick three and out. They went minus 6 yards on their first drive. Had a really short punt. Turn around four plays later, we're in the end zone. So from a standpoint of way we want to start a game, we always want to start with a stop and score on our first series, and we just had that 14-point swing. I know it's 7-0, but that's a 14-point swing, and we felt very good about it. Then it just seemed like we just became a little bit more stepped up from the week before, and the intensity level, the attention to detail when we watch film of how attentive we are just to the little things. I really appreciate that out of the players, and they've practiced like that prior to Boonville, so it all had led up to that. And again, hard work doesn't equal success, but hard work puts you in a position to have success, and our players did that last week.
The offense, I mean, that's the third time this year you all have scored 60 or more points. But to me, it's the defense, especially responding from the week two loss with 0 points allowed, 7 points allowed, 0 points allowed. I know we've talked about how the players really took, picked things up after Lutheran North game. But what is it, whether it's technical or whether it's just mental, that has allowed the defense to just kind of pick things up after that week two game and play as well as they have?
I think just the attention to detail. When the coaching staff puts together a game plan, they know the game plan by Monday, by the time we get to practice. And I think that is the biggest mental part of it, because we can start Monday. And a lot of teams go over stuff on Monday. We're already into the heart of practice by the mid-session of Monday's practice. So I think that's part of it. Second is we have a thing we call a grit drill that we do every Tuesday at the end of practice, where it's nothing but tackling for 10 minutes. We do it on innate objects. It's doing it on dummies, but they can hit them as hard as they want. But at the end of practice, most players are checked out. They have to turn around, gear it up, and go, I got to go, and I got to go my hardest right now. And they do, and I think that, just that mental preparation for the end of practice on Tuesday, turns around, and then now they're like, okay, if I can do it there, I can do it everywhere on Friday night. And I the attention to detail is just off the charts of where it was before week two.
And that being said, what do you also like that you've seen from the offense?
Just execution. Last week we had a couple plays where we had a player scoring and we had a player who was busting it to get in front of them to make a block. Mm-hmm. And when you turn on the film and you watch one of our players score, it isn't one player scoring. All other 10 players run to the end zone and celebrate. I think our offensive continuity right now is at an all-time high at this season. You just see it at practice. It seems like every time at practice we have a big play, they practice running to the end zones. And Zach Bonnet will set them off. If we have a really good play, we'll go plays and we're having successful plays. But if it's a really on-point play, he goes, everybody to the end zone, and they take off and they run to the end zone. And it's fun. You know, when you watch them, it's not work. It's not practice. It's, hey, we want to execute, and we anticipate playing at a very high level. And that's where I think our offense has been and where hopefully we'll continue to go.
Okay, and this Friday's matchup with Blue Valley Southwest sounds like they're going to have athletes all over the field. What can you tell us about this team?
Well, it reminds me a little bit when I coached the Class 6 level. You turn on the film and everything looks right. They're 2-2, but the two teams that have beaten them are extremely good football teams. They're never out of place. They're very well coached. They play with great intensity, and they play with great physicalness. You can just see it on film. This is a game that we reached out. Mr. Crouch, or AD, reached out in the offseason and said, hey, what do you think about this? And I think this is going to do nothing but help us. That's awesome. Back when we're talking about it in December, now they get in front of you, you're like, "Woo, this is a step up for us." So it's a win-win, but we've had a good week of practice. I like where we're headed. We're going to have to play extremely well.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. And Greg, I guess I need to get off the Boonville Pirates hype machine a little bit and just maybe temper my enthusiasm a little bit. And like you said, I think last week's podcast, they were young and things are looking good for the future. The future's not quite now because last week Blair Oaks won 62-0.
That being said, it still wouldn't shock me if Boonville goes 8-1. The way they started the game, they started with three consecutive run plays for minus 5 yards, punted, Blair Oaks gets a short field, scores a touchdown, Boonville gets the ball back, they start to move the ball, and then they throw a pick six, and I felt like the pick six, even though it was not even maybe 6 minutes into the game, it was still a backbreaker
because you
felt like you had something going if you're Boonville, and all of a sudden it's 14-0. It's like, what else do we have to do? Blair Hooks' defense holding Boonville to 68 total yards was impressive. I mean, that's a good Boonville team that can easily finish 8-1. I wrote in both stories over the weekend, that's a twofold win for Blair Hooks. Not only does that put you in first place for conference, but you get the head-to-head win against a district opponent.
Right.
If people remember, 3 years ago, Boonville beat Blair Oaks. I can't remember how it shaped up after week 9, but Boonville got the 2 seed and Blair Oaks got the 3. So
right. It
seemed like no matter what their points, as long as they were back-to-back, Boonville was going to be ahead of them. So that's a pretty big deal. I know there's still a few more district teams on the schedule, especially that week 9 game with Southern Boone. But if you're Blair Oaks, I remember last year because Moberly was also in that district and Moberly played up a lot and Moberly won a lot of those games. They had to do a lot of scoreboard watching.
Sure.
You might have to do some of that with Knob Noster this year, but I still feel like if Blair Oaks takes care of business, does what it's supposed to do, I feel like that and if they can win in week 9, they should get the 1 seed in districts again.
I want to go back just for a second to that 68 total yards because I think that is impressive.
Yeah.
But it's also impressive when you think about it from the standpoint of you go, okay, that's not in a tight game where both teams have had the ball for a long time or it's real tight. When a game's 62-0, there's a lot of points in a game where things can just get easier to get yardage. I'm not going to say they were going to ever score a bunch of points, but it's just the fact that you can limit to them that all game long, whether it be the first teamers or whenever the second teamers come in or whether however the run of play works out, 68 yards is an impressive number for the Blair Oaks defense.
You bring up the backups. I thought what was impressive was Blair Oaks brought in its second string defense to face Boonville's first string offense, and I think Boonville got one first down and then punted. I thought that was a huge momentum for the JV team.
Sure.
The other thing, and I think I wrote about this as well, is that's a second straight week Blair Oaks has forced its opponent to punt 10 times.
That's amazing.
That's a lot of punts in one game. I mean, really, for that to pull off, you have to get a lot of three and outs, or it has to be, a pretty short series. And again, Blair Oaks moves the ball so quickly, there's going to be a lot of possessions in the first half. And when you have that running clock in the second half, there's only going to be time for maybe three possessions. So I think that's what makes that more impressive.
But I think those 10 punts are even more impressive from the standpoint of, you go, a lot of high school coaches try not to punt as much as possible because they're worried about their punter or they're not, it's a cause for concern sometimes in the high school game. The fact that, back-to-back weeks you make a team punt 10 times is pretty darn impressive.
And here's the other thing, and I don't know if I take it for granted or if it's just not something I don't necessarily think about. If you look at what Blair Oaks has done in the past 3 weeks, and I caught up on this tidbit whenever I was looking up information on Blue Valley Southwest, who is this week's opponent.
Right.
But Blair Oaks, in its first 3 conference games, so the past 3 weeks, has outscored opponents 167-7.
Right.
Now, what makes that even more impressive is the 3 opponents' combined records are 9-6.
Sure.
Take away 3 of those losses because those were 2 Blair Oaks, and those teams are 9-3 when they don't play Blair Oaks. Boonville State ranked Osage is just outside the top 10 in Class 4. These are not just pushover games. They are playing some of the better teams on their schedule.
Absolutely.
And are, to me, it's just going to show that, yes, I think with every passing week, I think we realize just how good Lutheran North is because Blair Oaks has bounced back from that game and has played practically close to perfect football since.
This may be one of those years where, and I don't want to give you more stats you have to keep track of, but that might be a fun stat by the end of the season, is just to add up the total punts, because it's not often, you know, when you look at the end, you know, I know that you guys run the cumulative season stats usually, and we kind of have a good idea of how things are going on, but that's one of those columns that I don't look much at. But by the end of the year, you may have something like, you know, 130 punts to like 3 for Blair Oaks, and that may be a number where you just go, that's an amazing possibility, where you look at, not often do you go, I'd like to figure out the punt game, but this might be something this year.
Speaking of which, I'll ask you a question. How many times do you think Blair Oaks has punted this year?
I'm going to go with 0.
2 times.
I missed it.
Two times. Yeah. Well, so that's, I was going to say, I haven't looked it up, but I think I think they forced close to 40 punts this year already. So a 40-2 ratio, if I'm right. I mean, that's impressive through 5 games.
Absolutely. Before we get off the Boonville game for just a second, it is worth noting that you did mention last week that there's a youth movement coming for the Pirates, and it sounds like it's coming, you know, and it sounds like the JV game between these two teams was a lot closer when they played a Monday.
Yeah, it was if you look, I think Blair Oaks won handily in some of those early JV games. You know, the Monday's game against Boonville was on the road. It was like, you know, less than 10 points. I know, talking with Coach LePage, I think Blair Oaks might have made 3 or 4 turnovers in that game, but still found a way to win. But again, like we talked about, Boonville's got a good freshman class. A few of them were key players in Friday's game. Some of the other ones waiting in the wings, have to play on Mondays in the JV level. And, Boonville's lower levels are pretty good too. So, I don't know if they're going to beat Blair Oaks down the road in a couple of years, but the games, it's not going to be 62-0 in a couple of years. Sure. I don't imagine.
Let's take a quick break for an ad read. At Carpet Values, we offer the guaranteed lowest prices on all your flooring needs. And now, during our fall savings event, you can save even more. We are stocked full of carpet, vinyl plank, tile, laminates, rugs, and more. Don't miss out on these hot fall savings. Come see us at Carpet Values and take advantage of our guaranteed lowest prices. We're your low-price superstore at I-70 and Highway 54 in Kingdom City. So you mentioned a little bit earlier, but this week's game is against Blue Valley Southwest out of Kansas. It's actually at Blue Valley High School in Stillwell, Kansas, to make it a little bit of a shorter trip for the Falcons. But it is kind of one of those where you go, okay, we're going to lean on your expertise, because this is one of those teams that I'm sure not a lot of the Falcon faithful have know much about this team, other than, okay, well, they must be good if they think that they can play Blair Oaks.
It was, so if people remember right, so week 6 used to be occupied by Versailles. Versailles leaves for the Ozark Highlands Conference in the middle of the previous 2-year cycle, so Blair Oaks had to add a week 6 opponent. Last year that was Seaman out of Topeka, Kansas, came to Wardsville and played. Blair Oaks won that game 63-28. Fulton has been voted into the Tri-County Conference, but doesn't start for another couple years. My assumption is Fulton will take that week 6 slot.
Okay.
So my guess is this is just going to be a home-and-home with Blue Valley Southwest. It's probably going to be it's just going to be the next 2 years, and they'll have to drop them, because I imagine they want to keep Maryville and Lutheran North. Clay Crouch was out trying to find a team willing to fill that spot. And as you know from covering Blair Oaks before I did, not many teams were knocking down the door to play Blair Oaks. So they had to go. Blue Valley Southwest was interested. They said yes. This has been in the books since December, I believe. Kansas, the way they do state rankings, I think it's through a website called kpreps.com. They only rank the top 5 teams in Class 5A, which is Blue Valley Southwest class. I believe there's only somewhere around 35 teams. So it's not, it's kind of like how the throw all Class 6 used to be in Missouri. If you go beyond the top 5, they're the second team out. So you could argue, okay, they're ranked number 7 in Class 5, which is still pretty darn good.
Sure.
Their 2 losses are to the number 2 and number 3 teams, who are St. Thomas Aquinas and Blue Valley.
Okay.
So, if you look, the numbers are greatly different. When they lose, the offense I don't think either time they gained more than 100 yards.
Okay.
They piled up points and found ways to win in those 2 wins in their weeks 2 and 3. They start a week later than Missouri High School football. So this is only their 5th game. They're 2-2. But they've got D1 athletes. I think it's going to be a lot like facing I guess if I had to put it, it's going to be maybe a cross of facing Seaman and last year's Park Hill Central team. There's going to be a lot of talented athletes on the field for Blue Valley Southwest. Their O-line is not quite as big as Lutheran North or Maryville, but they're still, it's athletic. It's class 5. It's an athletic line.
Okay.
But, yeah, they do have some athletes that, you know, if Blair Oaks is not where they're supposed to be defensively, or if the offense, you know, kind of doesn't keep its head on a swivel or knows what, or makes a mistake, this team will pounce on that.
So let's start with the Blair Oaks defense. What are they maybe, what are they have to concern themselves with the Blue Valley Southwest offense? What kind of scheme may they run, or what, you know, what do they like to do?
So it's going to be a spread offense with an H-back. Believe their quarterback was injured at the start of the year, so they actually took their middle linebacker, who is probably, you know, kind of like the captain of the defense. They brought him over and also made him play quarterback.
Okay.
He's thrown a little bit, so that's a thing. If you look at their four games, three of those games they've used, Ryan Specht, who is the middle linebacker, and they've used the starter, you know, Joshua Tingey. They've kind of used them both, so I don't know if it's they're waiting for, they're trying to ease Tingey back in, okay, or if they like what they've seen from Specht. But, Blair Oaks is kind of preparing to face both because they're not quite the same. They're not, they're different looks. They're okay, not the same. They're not the same caliber of quarterback.
Okay.
The one player that Coach LePage was definitely focused on was number 9, the running back. I'm going to butcher his last name. Angelo, it's Cuvo or Quio, K-E-U-W-O. But okay, he had 4 total touchdowns in their week 2 win, 2 offensive, 2 defense. I think one was a pick 6. He's definitely one that is – he's very fast. They've okay, got to find a way to get between. They've got to find a way to get between him and the goal line or whatever. I mean, you can't let him get to the sideline because then he'll just take off.
Okay. So flipping it for the Blair Oaks, what maybe about the Blue Valley Southwest on defense do you have to overcome, or what is it that, or what can you maybe exploit?
Well, okay, so their look's going to be somewhat similar to Lutheran North, kind of like a 3-3 with a nickel, like 5 secondary.
Okay.
But they'll have that rover, like the Jefferson kid from Lutheran North. I think, Blue Valley Southwest has a player that kind of plays that rover position, not quite as talented as okay, Jefferson from Lutheran North, but again, you have to play rover, you have to really know what you're doing. So
sure,
he's definitely skilled at that position. So I think if you're Blair Oaks, it's kind of great that you have seen that kind of defense before. Granted, it didn't go over so well for you, but you have seen it.
Right.
They've got great players in the secondary. Like I said, you got to watch out for Speck. He's also the leading tackler on defense. Definitely is going to be moving all over the place. I'm going to mispronounce his name, Cuvo or Quio or however you pronounce it. He's got 3 interceptions this year, so he's, their safeties play really, really well. So I'll be curious to see if this is a game where Blair Oaks tries to establish the run and,
okay,
and try to find ways. Do you try to run between the tackles?
Right.
You've got Hayden Lackman back. He looked really good against Boonville. You've also got Brady Dabkus, who I would argue just because you've had Lackman, because you have Tyler Bax, I don't know if you've really tapped into the full potential of Brady Dabkus yet.
Right.
Is this a game where it is a possibility where they go to him and he makes things happen? I feel like this is an opportunity for him to have a breakout game. So I'll be very interested to see how Blair Oaks operates offensively.
Yeah.
Which way do they want to go? Or is it, what is Blue Valley Southwest going to allow them to, are they going to give them an opening to try something that works well?
I think that is what maybe will make this game fun for both yourself as a viewer and fans as viewers. Just, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think just when you're a little more set, or you know exactly what you need to do and exploit, sometimes it becomes more rote. And I think just the fact that this may be a little more improvisational in-game adjustment sort of thing will maybe make this one very fun to watch.
Yeah, if you take a look, after this week, Blair Oaks has, at Eldon, home against Hallsville, at Southern Boone. If you take a look at the past year or so, those 3 non-conference games have been the 3 toughest games of schedule. Not trying to knock the Tri-County, but
right.
That's what Blair Oaks does. They want, they only get 3 non-conference games. They're going to do what they can with them. And I think this is a great opportunity to say, First off, Coach LePage said it's a win-win because they're class five, so that's like you get 20 bonus points, which honestly a lot of times that cancels out. Even if Blair Oaks were to lose, that cancels out the points you get from not winning.
Sure.
That being said, like we saw last year with Seaman, when you get the bonus points and you win, oh my goodness, like that's a two-for-one type of deal. So,
sure.
You know, it'd be very interesting to see how this game plays out. But again, I think you're going – I mean, they've outscored opponents 167-7 the past 3 weeks. I know it's not going to be the same this week, but they have all the confidence in the world going in at this point. Like, at this point, I know it's only been a few weeks, but that week two loss is a distant memory.
Absolutely.
They've really done a good job of putting that behind them.
Absolutely. So I guess I just ask you, who comes out on top tonight?
Well, I think in the paper I said Blair Oaks is going to win 49-35, so I'm going to stick with that. Be very interested. Something I haven't mentioned is, you know, something we looked up in the Boonville game. Nolan Laughlin on kickoffs had 6 touchbacks. Like Blair Oaks kickers. That's really been it. Even when they were good in, you know, the 2000s and the 2010s, they didn't always have that kicker that kind of changed the course of the field. Boonville was starting at their 20 or closer to the goal line every time. So if Nolan Laughlin comes out on kickoffs and is able to, you know, kick the ball in the end zone, start the defense on the 20, that makes such a big difference.
Absolutely.
Especially if you get a stop and then you get the offense in short field. So
yeah.
I'll be curious to see if that's a difference maker tonight for Blair Oaks.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action JAXON05. Thanks for listening.